भगवान एक एव सर्वक्षेत्रेष्वस्थितः अनुष्यदुर्गत्वं वा क्लेशो वा कर्मभिकृतः.
The Lord as the super soul is situated in every living being's heart. Why then do the living entity's activities result in misfortune and misery?
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
The next question put forward by Vidura to Maitreya is, why are the living entities subjected to so many miseries and misfortune in spite of the Lord's presence in their hearts as the super soul? The body is considered a fruitful tree, and the living entity and the Lord as super soul are like two birds seated in that tree. The individual soul is eating the fruit of the tree, but the super soul, the Lord, is witnessing the activities of the other bird. The citizen of the state may be in miseries for want of sufficient supervision by the state authority. But how can it be possible that a citizen suffers from other citizens while the chief of the state is personally present? From another point of view, it is understood that the jiva, living entity, is qualitatively one with the Lord, and that his knowledge in the pure state of life cannot be covered by nescience, especially in the presence of the Supreme Lord. How then does the living entity become subjected to ignorance and covered by the influence of Maya? The Lord is the father and protector of every living entity, and he is known as the Bhutabrit, or the maintainer of the living entities. Why then should the living entity be subjected to so many sufferings and misfortunes? It should not be so, but actually we see that it happens everywhere. This question is therefore put forward by Vidura for solution.
Vidura is here in inquiring from Maitreya Rishi a very pertinent and logical question. Maitreya Muni has described Vidura how the Supreme Personality of Godhead creates the cosmic manifestation, how the Lord impregnates the womb of material nature with all living entities, how he creates through the agency of Brahma and other devatas the various species of life, how according to one's karmic condition the living entity enters into a particular species of life, and how the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the controller of all controllers, enters into the heart and sits beside each and every living entity wherever that person may travel through the 8,400,000 species of life within material existence. This is quite a logical question. The Lord is the maintainer and controller of all material existence. Mayadhyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam. There is nothing the Lord cannot do if he so wills to do so. And the Lord is seated within the heart of every living being, right beside the spirit soul. So why is it, and how is it possible that there can be suffering? why the soul is miserable, bound by so many fruitive activities which cause him to engage in so many sinful activities. And then the resultant reactions is misery. How could there be misfortune when the Lord is sitting right beside us? How could there be suffering when this source of all bliss is closer than anything could ever be? In this world, sometimes we want to be close to someone or close to something. When it's very cold, you want to be close to heat. When you're close to heat, there is no question that you can be cold. When a child is afraid, the child wants to be close to the mother. And when that closeness with the mother is there, there is no question of fear. But what are we really close to in this world? If there's a fire in the house and the fire department comes and they are close, spraying the water, you feel, oh, now I will be protected. If some criminal wants to harm you and you're surrounded on all sides, inches away by the military, you know, nothing can harm me. So we are protected by close proximity with those who have the power to help us. But actually, nothing is closer to us than Krishna. Because we are not this body, we are the eternal soul, and Krishna is sitting right next to the soul. He's closer than your mother, closer than your father, closer than your home, closer than anything. He is sitting right beside your soul, and he never leaves for a moment, ever. Millions, perhaps billions of times you have transmigrated to different species of life, and the Lord has never, even for a moment, left that intimate, close proximity to you. So if the Lord is the supreme controller and he is so seated within our very heart, how could there be misfortune? Krishna, Vishnu, is the source of all auspiciousness. Where he is present, there cannot be inauspiciousness. Krishna Surya Samayahaya Andhakar. Where there is the sun, there cannot be darkness. Similarly, where there is Krishna, there cannot be ignorance. Ignorance is the exclusive reason for all suffering. How is it possible? Krishna is in our heart, and yet we are in such darkness. Krishna, the source of all auspiciousness, is so close to our lives, and yet our life is full of so much inauspicious misfortune and suffering. This is Vidura's question to Maitreya. Vidura is explaining that my mind is greatly illusioned by the distress of this nescience. And I therefore request you to clear it up. Vidura is a sincere student. He really wants to know. His mind is in distress unless he understands the truth. This is how we should be seeking truth, not just as a ritual. Not just because we are supposed to come to class, we will go through the formality and somehow or other keep busy until the class ends. We should be thirsting for truth. In fact, we should not be content until that question is answered. Advaitacharya, he was such a personality. He was reading Bhagavad Gita. He came to a verse. He could not understand what Krishna means. Because of that, he was in so much distress. I'm not understanding Krishna's words. He pondered, he studied so many various scriptures, so many commentaries, but still the answer was not being revealed. He prayed, he begged the Lord, please explain, what does this verse mean? I do not understand. When still, after not understanding, he began to fast. He was going to fast until death if that verse was not revealed to him. Then the Lord appeared to him in a transcendental vision and told him, Advaitacharya, take prasad. Take your bath, get nice rest. I will reveal the meaning of this verse in due course of time. Many, many years later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reminded Advaita of this pastime that happened perhaps before the Lord even appeared in this world, and said, that was me. I appeared to you and told you, take your prasad, and today I will reveal the meaning of the verse. Advaitacharya, upon seeing the mercy of the Lord and hearing that verse, he became completely transcendentally ecstatic, dancing and crying, my Lord, you are so merciful. Vidura is inquiring in this way. If you want to intensely understand, first you have to intensely want to know. Krishna reciprocates according to your approach to him. Krishna is transcendental sound vibration of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. If you deeply want to know more than very life itself, Krishna will give you all knowledge. The pundits and the scholars, they can memorize so many slokas and speak so much flowery philosophy and juggle words according to their logical expertise, but they cannot understand anything without mercy of Krishna. And Krishna gives that according to our want, our desire to understand. He either speaks through the scripture, he can speak through his, through your heart, or generally he speaks through his devotees, the spiritual master and the Vaishnavas. He can even speak through material nature. He can even speak through the conditioned souls to reveal the truth to you. This is Krishna's power. Vidura's mind is completely at unrest because this problem is not solved in his mind. How is it possible? If Krishna, who is the protector of all living beings, the controller of all controllers, is sitting right beside you in your very heart, what is the question of danger, misfortune, or misery? You become what you associate with. Krishna is the source of all bliss. He's there, closer than the closest. And yet we are suffering. Why? How? Please tell me. Some people cannot accept this philosophy because this problem is not solved. If God is actually existing, then he must be somewhere very far away. Otherwise, why are we so miserable? Or other people say, God must not exist. If he existed, why would he cause us suffering? If he's the God of love, why he's creating so much miserable condition in his own children's lives? Would a father purposely put his own child in a miserable situation if that father loves his children? If God is all truth and all powerful, why doesn't he create us so all we have to do is enjoy? And if you say there's a spiritual world, then why did he create this material world? And if he's all powerful and we're not supposed to be here, why doesn't he take us back now? Not tomorrow, now. Why another moment of distress? Therefore, there must not be a God. Or perhaps there is a God, but he's not all powerful. If there is a God, perhaps he is just like us. He just has a higher position. And he can't really interfere with our own destiny. Therefore, if God is not all-powerful, what is the use of such a God? Let me just do what I want, when I want, how I want, and where I want. And if God, whether he likes it or not, it doesn't matter. Because what can he do for me anyway? And others, they believe that actually this is all bogus philosophy. Because the real truth is, I am God. How can anyone deny the reality that I am the Supreme? Everyone tells me that. All the big, big philosophers and lecturers of Vedanta. I am the Supreme Godhead. But due to my transcendental, inconceivable lila, I am now appearing temporarily to suffer. But actually, I'm not suffering because I'm God. It may be cold out, but I'm not cold. I am the controller of heat and cold. It may appear that I'm getting old with arthritis. I can't see properly. I can't digest my food. My teeth are falling to the ground. However, it is my lila. My hairs are turning gray and they're falling out of my head. As I'm growing older, all sorts of terrible smells are just emanating from my body. Nobody likes me anymore. But this is my lila, because I am the controller of time personified. And although I'm forced to die against my will, this is my lila, because actually I am the master of death. I am God. Hare Krishna. So many ideas and philosophies are there because people do not understand this very question that Vidura is asking. We should be eager to hear. If we are eager to hear, Krishna within our heart will be eager to reveal the truth to us. If we are lazy, Krishna will be lazy as far as revealing the truth to us. So, Maitreya Rishi is about to explain the truth. How Krishna, the ultimate reservoir of all transcendental knowledge, is seated right within our heart beside the soul. But how the soul, although in a transcendental position, is forgetful of its own nature by its own sweet will. The Lord provides and facilitates the soul to try to achieve its own inner ambitions. When the jivatma wants to enjoy separate from the loving service of the Lord gives that devotee, or everyone is ultimately a devotee, gives that jivatma the facility to do so. How? By covering himself within our heart. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. Although the Lord is right next to us with the curtain of maya, we cannot see him. Just like in the temple, sometimes the curtains close. And we may be inches from the deities, but we cannot see. And when the conch shell blows, resounding, the coming of the Lord. Then the curtains raise and we see Sri Radha Gopinath. We can actually see with our own eyes their beautiful lotus face. But then after some time, the curtain closes. But a devotee knows that Krishna's behind the curtain. The devotee is meditating on Krishna behind the curtains and always wanting to serve, knowing that we may not see Krishna because we cannot see through doors and curtains, but Krishna sees us because he sees everywhere, everyone, at all times. Therefore, we act because we know Krishna is watching. And we are simply waiting, anticipating in great separation for when the doors will open and Radha Gopinath will again appear directly before our eyes. But in the meantime, we will serve and always stay close to him in the association of his devotees. Constantly please him by chanting his holy name. Similarly, for a materialistic person, with the curtain of Maya, we cannot see Krishna seated beside us in our heart. Not only do we not see him, we do not even believe that he's there. Although the great rishis are telling us, the previous acharyas and the scriptures and God himself descends to this world to tell us, I am in your heart. We are so foolish. We are looking everywhere else for Krishna except where he's standing beside us. We're trying to enjoy like the bird eating the fruits of the tree, not seeing that his real source of good fortune, the supreme bird, is right beside him on the same branch. He doesn't even have to look in any other part of the tree. Krishna's not hiding, but we do not want to see him. We are so eager to find the pleasure of eating various fruits. This is the condition. Look in this city of Mumbai, how people are eager to eat the fruits of material enjoyment. How much they are ambitious, crazy for sense gratification. Building huge skyscrapers, so many roads, so much technology. People are crammed into the trains and the buses, so they're practically crushed, suffocating. People are driving through so much terrible rush hour traffic, in so much anxiety, just dread, so much pollution everywhere. The rickshaw wallas and the taxi drivers are all fighting amongst each other somehow or other, trying to get some rupees. And the beggars are on the street begging for some rupees. And the big businessmen are exploiting and controlling so many others in total frustration, trying to get more rupees. Why do they want rupees? Because they have the illusion that it will buy them happiness. And people want power and control, thinking if I can have that position over others, I will be happy. But where is the happiness? It's a whole civilization of so many birds just trying to eat fruits. And there's only so many fruits on the tree, and everyone's fighting over that fruit. In the city of Bombay, as any city in the world, there's hundreds of birds all after one fruit. It is mine. Oh, it is mine. Beg, borrow, steal, kill, but get that fruit.
Hare Krishna.
But the source of all happiness is seated right beside us, Krishna. But as long as we want to enjoy separate from him, he just watches, observes very carefully everything we say, everything we do, every thought that crosses our mind. You cannot escape. If you are a devotee, it's blissful to know that Krishna is watching, listening, everything we do. And if we're a materialistic person, then we don't know he's there. We don't believe he's there. So it doesn't matter. However, if you're a sincere neophyte devotee, then it's difficult. Because you know he's there, but you're not following him. Krishna's watching what I'm doing with my tongue. He experiences everything I eat and everything I speak. But then we speak nonsense. We criticize other devotees and then we feel, oh, what have I done, Krishna's? But still I have to do it. I know Krishna's listening, but I must do it because I'm driven by my mind and senses. And my eyes. I know Krishna's in the temple, but still I must look at the objects of the senses. Krishna, please, just close your eyes for a second while I look at this thing. And Krishna knows everything. He knows what we do. We can go in the darkest cave in the Himalayas, where even the animals will not dare to travel. But Krishna's there. He's in the cave. He's in your heart. He's everywhere. And we may think that I have to do this. I'm not a paramhamsa. I'm not a pure devotee. How does Krishna expect me to resist this temptation? I must do it. But Krishna's watching. And he doesn't want me to do it. And my guru told me not to do it. But I must do it. What to do? Do it or not do it? I'll do it. No, I won't do it. But I will do it because I have to do it. Anyways, Krishna, forgive me. No, don't forgive me. Just look the other way for a few minutes. In this way, a devotee's mind is miserable when he engages in materialistic activities. Because he knows that Krishna is watching very carefully. You may not see him, but he sees you. And he will reveal himself to you when you show him that you want to see him. By living according to his desire. That is bhakti. The example is given herein that just as in a dream a person sees his head being cut off. Actually, your head's not being cut off, but it appears that your head's being cut off. And you're suffering, thinking, look, my head is over there. How will I survive? Actually, your head is very nicely on your neck. But due to the illusion, you're thinking it's been cut off and it's been put somewhere else and you are without a head. You don't think, how will I see if my head is over there? After all, my head has eyes. And if my head is there, how am I seeing it here and there and like that? It's very logical. But due to illusion, we cannot understand. Or the other example that is being given is the moon. The moon is stable in its position. But when the reflection of the moon goes on the water of the ocean, the waves make the moon appear to be shimmering, moving about in so many ways. The moon is moving, look! But it is not the moon moving. It is the rays of the moon that are moving. The rays are the energy of the moon, and they are affected by the ocean. However, the moon itself, the source of all the rays, is not. Similarly, all living entities are the rays of Vishnu. We are all the energy of Vishnu. And the energy emanating from Vishnu in the form of the jivatmas can be affected by the waves of the ocean. But the source, Krishna, is never affected. A dark cloud could cover the moon. It appears that way to our vision. Actually, the cloud is only covering the rays of the moon. It cannot cover the moon. The moon is transcendental to the clouds. Because we are the energy of the Lord, we are part and parcel of the Lord, we can be affected by Krishna's external energy, but the Lord is never affected. According to the waves of the modes of material nature, we can be very much affected, just like the reflection of the energy of the moon. Or the other example is given of fire. The spark of the fire can be removed from the fire itself and appear that its own illuminating qualities are not being manifested. But the fire is never subjected to that. So similarly, when we realize our relationship with the Lord as His eternal servant, then all the illusions of material existence are vanquished. This is the purpose of life. It can only come about by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We are in so much fear. Why should we be in fear when Krishna is right within our heart, our protector, our father, our Lord, our master, and no one can touch us if Krishna doesn't desire that we're touched? Why should we be in fear? Srila Prabhupada gives an example. If the chief of state is right next to you, living in your house with all of his entourage, are you afraid of anyone? Why should you be afraid of anyone coming to harm you? You have all the power of the king and the government right in your home. There's nothing to fear. These little kings of the world are fallible. The supreme king of all kings is sitting right in the home of our heart. Why should we be in fear? Why anxiety? Because we have forgotten. Unless the Lord reveals Himself by His mercy in reciprocation to our service, we cannot understand the true glory of our real position as His eternal servant. But a devotee is always protected by the Lord and fearless, is not concerned with the waves and the ocean of material existence. He's always stable. Many examples. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu first came back from Gaya to manifest his pastimes of spreading Sankirtan throughout the world, he began to have kirtans with his devotees. Day and night he would chant with his devotees. Srivas Thakur and his three brothers, Sripati, Sri Ram, and Sri Nidhi, they would chant the holy names of the Lord all night long in the courtyard of Srivas. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so very pleased. They actually exhibited in truth the qualities Trinarapi Sunichena Tarorapi Sahishtuna Amani Namanadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. Because of their humility tolerance, their willingness to respect all and expecting none in return, they could chant the holy names day and night. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in ecstatic love, was tasting the sweetness of Harinam at all times, along with his devotees. But Srivas, in his house, with his brothers, would chant and chant and chant. The Lord was pleased, but the materialistic people became very angry, because to them, sleep is so precious. It is like gold, sleep, because that's the time we could finally forget the anxieties and frustrations of life. I could just blank out everything. That is so nice. Or I can dream and fascinate all the things I cannot achieve in this world. And besides that, just see the cycle of illusion in this world. We love to sleep because we can forget all our frustrations. But the purpose of our sleep is also to have the energy to work so hard to create frustration. We work so hard throughout the day and create such a miserable, anxiety-ridden situation, we just want to sleep at night, and the reason we're sleeping at night is to get more energy the next day to create more anxiety so that we have to forget it to sleep. Hare Krishna. That is material life. We want the energy that we get from a good night's sleep so we could work so hard. And in that work, we become so miserable, we just want to go to sleep and forget it. So these people, they were thinking, Srivas is, he's like a criminal. He is robbing us of the precious jewel of our sleep. Because all night long, he's loudly chanting the holy names of Krishna. Unbearable. He must be punished. He must be stopped by whatever means required. God is sleeping in the ocean, the causal ocean. And the whole universe is being maintained because he's sleeping. This loud chanting of Srivas and his brothers, it will wake him up. And when he wakes up, he will be like us when we wake up to hear that chanting. And he will become angry, and he will destroy the entire universe. One of the people said, I've been telling you all along, we must take Srivas and tie him up with ropes and deliver him to the king. At that time, the kings were people who hated Hindus. We will bring him to the king and have him arrested, beaten, tortured. And we will take his house with everything in it and throw it in the Ganges. Then we will get nice sleep. At this very moment, the king is coming with his soldiers on boats because they have heard that loud Sankirtan of Krishna's names are being chanted in Navadvip. They will come and punish all of us. Srivas, he is so clever. When the king comes with his soldiers, he will secretly escape, and then we will be plundered and beaten and tortured. This is the way the people were talking. So much lying, threatening propaganda. And meanwhile, the devotees, they understood we have Krishna Chandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, to protect us. But Srivas at the same time saw there were so many threats to the Vaishnavas, he became concerned because he knew it was a fact. The king was coming on boats with his soldiers to Navadweep to see what was happening. So many complaints he received. And the kings of this time were ruthless, terrible tyrants. So one day, Lord Chaitanya, he was just roaming through the streets of Navadweep as if he was the lord of the creation. He was just so carefree. And the people who saw him were thinking, how is this possible? The king is coming on the boats with his soldiers, and he's just roaming around town, chanting and dancing as if nothing. He wasn't actually dancing yet, not in the town. He revealed his dance to the common people first time during the procession to Chand Kazi's house. But he was just roaming around. People started blaspheming Lord Chaitanya. They were thinking, maybe he's ignorant that the king is coming. Or maybe he's just so transcendental, maybe he's just so crazy, he doesn't care. Or perhaps he's just putting on a good show so at the least expected moment he will escape and leave us to be punished. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the bank of the holy river Ganges, and there he saw these cows were playing with each other. They were jumping around with their tails raised. Some of them were playfully fighting with each other. Some were licking each other. They were jumping in a very loving, playful way. Lord Chaitanya, upon seeing those cows enter into his mood of being Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Generally, Lord Chaitanya was in the mood of a devotee. But sometimes, by his own sweet will, he revealed his true glory. When he saw these cows so beautifully decorating the banks of River Ganga, Lord Chaitanya called out very loudly, "I am he! I am he!" Very quickly, he went to the house of Srivas. At the time, Srivas was in his temple room worshipping Narasimha Bhagavan. Lord Chaitanya began to pound on the door, calling out, "I am he!" He pounded the door right down and entered into Srivas's temple. He called out to Srivas with a very, very tumultuous voice, "I am the Lord that you are worshiping. Just look upon me." Srivas looked up at Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he saw before his own eyes the Lord sitting in the posture called Virasan. He had four arms, holding the conch shell, the lotus flower, the disc, and the club. He revealed his divine form as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When Srivas saw this, he fell to the ground offering obeisances. Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas, "Please offer your prayers to me." Srivas Pandit began to explain in his prayerful mood how the Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is the cause of all that exists. He is the ultimate goal of all the Vedas. He is Krishna, he is Ram, he is Narasimha, he is all the avatars. He has descended in this world to protect his devotees. But who can possibly understand the supreme majesty of God?
Srivas explained to the Lord that today my home, my life, my family, everything has borne fruit to the ultimate perfection of because you have entered into my house and given me your darshan.
My Lord, even if time personified comes, what will it do to me? You are my protector. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Srivas, bring your wife, your brothers, your children, your servants, and your maidservants, let them behold my opulences. Srivas Thakur went and brought all of his family and people of his home. They all became infatuated with ecstatic love if they saw the beautiful forearm form of Lord Chaitanya. Then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally placed his lotus feet on the head and each and every one of Srivas Thakur's family members and servants. And by doing so, invested within their hearts the realization of their eternal constitutional position of a loving servant of Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya began to speak. He said, Srivas, why should you be afraid of the king? If I do not give the order of the king to punish you, he cannot punish you. If he comes on his boat, you just see, if I go on his boat and reveal my opulences to him, he will bow down and surrender to me. And if by his misuse of free will, he does not do that, he does not come off his throne and bow at my feet, then I will tell him this. Please, bring all your mullahs and qazis who are so much against the Sankirtan movement, and I will show you what is true and what is false. Bring your elephants, your horses. Bring all the animals of the kingdom, including the birds, and have them sing hymns from their scriptures and make these animals cry. And they will not succeed. Then I will go into the jungle and with my own hand I will grab a wild elephant and bring it to the king's court. Then I will bring all the horses, all the elephants, all the cows, all the lizards, all the birds, everything. And I will begin to chant the holy names of Krishna. All these animals will begin weeping in ecstatic love, incessant tears. They will all be dancing and chanting the holy names. The king, his ministers, the qazis, the mullahs, all the kingdom's court, they will all be weeping tears of ecstatic love, chanting the holy names of Krishna. If you do not believe I have this power, you just watch. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu turned toward the four-year-old niece of Srivas Thakur, whose name was Narayani. Lord Chaitanya, with his heart full of love for this little child, he ordered her, chant the name of Krishna and cry in ecstasy. Narayani began to call out, Krishna, Krishna. Again and again she called out, Krishna, Krishna. And tears started pouring from her eyes like Ganga Jamuna. She fell to the ground in ecstatic love, calling out, Krishna, Krishna. When the devotees saw this, they were struck with wonder, the power of the Lord. Narayani became famous, and she is famous for all eternal history as the one who cried upon the order of the Lord to chant the name of Krishna. She became so dear to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that when he would take prasad, he would personally feed her his own maha prasad remnants. She was the mother of Vrindavan Das Thakur, whose great book, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, these wonderful stories are to be found. After Narayani fell to the ground in ecstatic love, weeping tears, chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, then Srivas Thakur became filled with bliss. He said, my Lord, even if you appear as time personified to destroy the whole universe, I will not be afraid, because I am your servant. I will go on chanting your holy name. What is there to be fearful of when we have faith in the supreme power of Godhead? Another time, when they were having the kirtans all night long, there was a Brahmin of the name Gopal Chapala. He wanted to go in the kirtan and see what is all this. But he was not allowed in. The devotees would close the doors just before the sunset, and they would chant and dance in ecstatic love throughout the night with Lord Chaitanya. So Gopal Chapala decided that this Srivas, he's becoming too popular. He's having too much influence, and he is not respecting me as I so desire. I will ruin his name. I will destroy his credibility completely. So Gopal Chapal, he arranged for all of the paraphernalia for worshiping the demigod Bhavani in the mode of ignorance. Now devotees, we understand how we should always offer our respect to these great devatas and goddesses like Durga. Brahma Samhita explains, they are the energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead performing very, very valuable service according to his sweet will. But some people, they worship with black desires. They want power. They want wealth to misuse for materialistic purposes. And some people even worship according to various tantric rites for the purpose of getting great, great superstitious faith and powers to overcome others. So he arranged for this type of tamaguna puja in the front of Srivas's house. There was wine and vermilion, perhaps different types of meat. Who knows what other various substances were there. The idea was when people would see this in front of Srivas's house, they would think, he is a materialistic tantric worshiper in the mode of ignorance. Why should we respect him? But Srivas was the first person to see it.
And what did he do? He called the people of Navadvip and told them, actually, just see what I am doing. I am worshiping in the mode of ignorance, Durga Devi. He did not try to defend himself. No, it's not me. This is a plot. It's a conspiracy. I am innocent. He just admitted. He admitted what he didn't even do. This was his humility. Why? Because he was totally fearless. If Krishna wants to protect me, why should I fight for myself? Why should I defend myself? If someone goes to defame a Vaishnav, I will fight for him. If someone comes to defame Guru or Krishna, I will give my life to defend their integrity. But if someone comes to defame me, I will say, please, I deserve more. I deserve worse. Whatever. If Ananta Shesha with his millions of mouths were to blaspheme me for the rest of creation, he would not find the end of my sins that I perform in one day. Devotees, of course, this cannot be true, but the sentiment is, whatever people say against me, it's not near what they could say if they knew what is in my heart. You are only seeing the external, superficial manifestations. But if you saw what was in my heart, you can write volumes and volumes of literatures about my degraded, sinful life. If all the newspapers in all the cities of all the world were to be at press 24 hours a day, they could not speak all the sinful desires in my heart. Devotees are humble like this. Therefore, they do not defend themselves unless it is for the service of others, but not for themselves. Sometimes a devotee defends himself or herself because the reputation of the movement or other devotees' faith may be at stake. But it should not be for our own personal enjoyment. A devotee is very happy to hear himself blasphemed.
Hare Krishna.
It may be painful to the mind, but the heart is thinking, oh, Krishna, what you are going through just to try to make me humble, to move this mountain of false pride. So Srivas just welcomed everyone to come and see how I am a miserably ignorant tantric. But nobody believed him. Everyone thought, just see, Srivas is so humble, he's admitting something he doesn't even do. And they cleaned it all and swept it and washed the whole area with cow dung. But Gopal Chapala got leprosy. The same very day, practically, because of this offense. When Lord Chaitanya was present, he gave love of God instantly. He also gave reactions to aparads instantly. That is the power of when the Lord personally appears to perform his leela. Today we may think, I'm chanting, but love of God is not here. I chanted all 16 rounds today and still no love of God. What is happening? When Mahaprabhu would glance on a person, love of God would awaken in the heart. I'm standing before the deities glancing on me for hours at a time and still no love of God. Why? By chanting and sitting under the glance of the deity. Gradually, love of God is awakening in your heart. The process of bhakti is gradual, although actually it is quite rapid, but by our consideration it appears gradual. But when the Lord personally appears, he accelerates everything. By his order, if you chant Krishna's name once, ecstatic love, you become his intimate associate. Now we have to chant our whole life to achieve that. Similarly, when people blaspheme Vaishnavas. The reaction may be gradual. When Lord Chaitanya came, both the benedictions and the punishments were instant. Gopal Chapala criticized Srivas, immediate leprosy. Hare Krishna. Gopal Chakravarti spoke ill against Haridas Thakur, immediately he achieved leprosy. Amoga made an offense, the same day he got cholera. Terrible, painful, miserable sufferings. But today we see people are saying so many blasphemies and doing so many things against Lord Chaitanya's movement and his devotees, and we think, why? Why no leprosy? 3 days have gone by. 6 months, still no cholera. Why? In Mahaprabhu's Leela, it happened same day. That is the special feature of Lord Chaitanya's coming. But the same result is achieved, but it takes little more time. By practicing bhakti principles, gradually love of God is surely being awakened in your heart. And in due course of time, ecstatic love will manifest. If you criticize Vaishnavas, blaspheme, or the movement of the Lord, gradually in the due course of time, you will suffer just as bad as Gopal Chapal. Gopal Chakravarti or Amoga. Definitely, there's no question, it is only separated by some time. What the Lord did, everything instantly, things take time when the Lord is not personally and directly in his incarnated form. So just as you have faith in the gradual process of Krishna consciousness, as even though you may not be seeing immediate results, similarly, we should be so conscious of our offenses. We may not see immediate results. That doesn't mean I got away with it. Nothing happened. All my fingers are still on my hand. My nose is still there. And I blasphemed a devotee. So that means I could do it again. But it is just a matter of time till the reactions come. To everyone, good or bad. So Gopal Chapala, he suffered terribly. And when he approached Lord Chaitanya, begging him, please save me, I surrender to you, Lord Chaitanya's reply is, I curse you to remain in this miserable condition for millions of births. Hare Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya walked away. And another occasion, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after he took sannyas and came back to Kuliagram, Gopal Chapala again begged, please, please, I beg forgiveness for what I did to your devotee. Mahaprabhu said, if you go to Srivas and you genuinely beg for his forgiveness, by his prayers you will be saved. And sure enough, Gopal Chapala became a great Vaishnava. He learned a good lesson. It was worth it. As they say, all is well that ends well. He learned his lesson and he surrendered to be the servant of the servant of the Vaishnavas. Srivas Thakur, in his house, even his maidservants and servants and the servants of the servants of his maidservants and servants all got love of God and the darshan of the Lord. Therefore, one should understand, to become dear to a Vaishnava and to serve a Vaishnava, one will get certainly the most auspicious blessings of Krishna. But to neglect or to offend, one will get a different type of mercy. But through these stories, we find how Srivas Thakur was utterly
fearless and transcendental to anything that may have happened to him in this world. Even if all the king's soldiers were coming just to get him, he was not fearful at all because he knew Krishna is in my heart and Krishna will protect me. All I have to do is just remember him and chant his holy names. Even if people were trying to assassinate his character by spreading so many lies against him, vicious, he was not at all disturbed because he knows Krishna is in my heart and he knows who I am and what I am doing for him in my own humble desire to serve. Tests, examinations will come throughout our life. It is always auspicious if we are conscious of the reality that we are the dependent child of Krishna. And we simply have to remain true and honest to Krishna, and he will certainly deliver us from every situation of life. Srivas was not even afraid of poverty or starvation. When he was living at Kumarahatta, after Lord Chaitanya resided in Jagannath Puri, Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya came to his home and said, "Srivas, you do not even go out to work. How do you feed your family?" After all, people are working to make ends meet. It is authorized, Grihastha Ashram. We are supposed to work and be responsible people in society. But Srivas was on another level of transcendental realization. He would just be in his house all day and all night reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, discussing the teachings of Krishna's pastimes, and chanting the holy name. Lord Chaitanya said to Srivas that you are a grihastha, you have wife, you have family, you should work. How do you maintain yourself? Srivas said, "There is no need to work. I am content just remembering you and chanting your holy names." Lord Chaitanya said, "Then you should take sannyas." Srivas said, "I cannot take sannyas. I am not qualified." Lord Chaitanya said, "Well, if you're not working to make a living, how do you expect for food to come to feed your family?" Srivas replied by clapping his hands and saying, "One, two, three." Lord Chaitanya was very much amazed by this reply. He asked a pertinent, logical question, and he got an answer. One, two, three. Lord Chaitanya said, "What does this mean? What does this clapping your hands and saying one, two, three mean?" Srivas said, "If the amount of time it takes me to clap my hand three times, if the Lord does not provide myself and my family whatever we require, then I will tie weights against my body and jump in the Ganges and drown myself." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, upon seeing the faith that Srivas had, he roared in ecstatic love and said, "Srivas, I give you this benediction that pure love of God will be with you and your family always, and all the necessities of life will always be in your home. Even if Goddess Lakshmi has to go begging due to drought and famine, there will always be all provisions in the house of Srivas." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in ecstasy to see what type of faith he had in Krishna. Krishna's in our heart. He never leaves us. What is there to fear? Bhajahure mana srinandanandana abhaya charana ravindare. All miseries and inauspiciousness is removed just by remembering Krishna within our heart. And that same Krishna within our heart has revealed himself in his name. In remembering Krishna, we are transcendental to all of the waves of the modes of material nature of this world. Daivi heshu gunamayi mama maya duratyaya mami vamye prapadyante mayame tatarantite. This material nature consisting of the three modes of material nature is a miserable place, dukalayam ashashvatam, that's very difficult to overcome. But one who surrenders to me can easily cross beyond it. We don't have to go anywhere to surrender to Krishna. He is closer than the closest to our very soul. Why we forget him? Because we want to forget him. Since time immemorial, we want to enjoy separate from him. It is only by his mercy, which comes through serving him, remembering him, that Krishna again reveals himself and brings unlimited auspicious happiness to our hearts. Mahaprabhu Sri Chaitanya has descended into this world to teach us how to always be conscious of our dependent condition as the servants of Krishna and find real happiness through the congregational chanting of the holy names. Srila Prabhupada ki. Thank you.